Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways you probably haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Questlove, and Cate Blanchett. In recent weeks, I talked to actor Dan Levy, director Ava DuVernay, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Tech Stuff, a production from iHeartRadio. Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer with iHeartRadio, and how the tech are ya? I am much better. I think I had food poisoning, and boy howdy, did it knock me on my patukas. But I'm back, and it's time for the tech news for Thursday, August 17th, 2023. And kicking the news off today is an update on the material called LK99. Now, if you've listened to recent Tech Stuff episodes, or you've been following the story in general, you probably heard that some researchers in South Korea believed that they had created this material, LK99, and that it displays the properties of a superconductor at high temperatures. So a superconductor is a material that has some really interesting properties. For one, it has zero electrical resistance, meaning it is a perfect conductor. Superconductors also reject magnetic fields, and then you get into things like the Meissner effect. But usually we have to either cool a conductor down to wicked cold temperatures, like a degree or two above the temperature of deep space, in order to reach superconductivity. We have to get to the critical temperature of this material, or you have to subject the material to really high pressure, and then you can increase the temperature for the critical nature of the material. But we're talking crazy pressures or temperatures here. Frequently, you'd have to do both. LK99 seemed to have superconductive features at room temperature and air pressure, which would have been incredibly disruptive, if true, and amazing. It would have been so good, but it appears that's not the case. Over the last couple of weeks, various research groups have attempted to replicate the results of the South Korean team, but it looks like LK99 isn't a superconductor after all. In fact, it's more of an insulator. So how did the South Korean team get this wrong? Well, according to chemist Prashant Jain of the University of Illinois, the issue was that the process to synthesize LK99 tends to introduce impurities. Like, that's just part of the synthesizing process. And it's not always the same each time you synthesize this stuff. But one of the impurities that can be introduced is copper sulfide. And that material has a very low electrical resistance if it happens to also be exposed to air and it's below like 104 degrees Celsius. And Jain said that the presence of impurities is what gave researchers the mistaken impression that the material overall was a superconductor, because there was a sudden drop in resistance, but it was because of impurities like copper sulfide. Researchers have said that LK99 is really tricky because, like I said, synthesizing can lead to samples with varying amounts of impurities. So even the same lab trying to synthesize this material could end up with two different samples with two different amounts of various impurities in different distributions. But unfortunately, it appears that superconductivity is not a property that LK99 possesses. It might have some ferromagnetic properties, and like I said, with these impurities, there might be pockets of lower electrical resistance, but it's not superconductive, at least according to these follow-up experiments. So that is a bummer. It's not necessarily a surprise, but you know, you always hope that the thing really is an incredible breakthrough. And then, you know, but you prepare yourself for the fact that it's probably not, right? It would have been a truly extraordinary thing had it all worked out. As always, you know, using critical thinking, being skeptical, it's important. So that way you can really, you know, investigate claims and make sure that they have merit. In this case, it seems that, sadly, they did not. That's not to say that I think the researchers from South Korea were attempting to mislead anyone. I don't believe that. I just think it was a case where they mistakenly identified a property that just wasn't there. The tech research firm Gartner released its hype cycle for emerging technologies in 2023, and generative AI is perched right at the tippy top of the peak of inflated expectations. So, the hype cycle is Gartner's way of describing the typical pattern we see when an exciting technology starts to gain mind share. So the hype cycle doesn't really say that much about the abilities of technology itself. It's more about how our perception of that technology and our reaction to that technology often are at a big gap from what the technology does. So it doesn't reflect poorly on the technology. It reflects poorly on us and our tendency to get overexcited about things. So you start off at the innovation trigger. So this is the emergence of some new technology. And at the earliest stages, usually the only people who are paying attention are folks who are directly involved in that sector or field of study, right? Like these are people who are on the forefront of research. And they might get excited about stuff, not because they think it's a huge breakthrough, but that it's progress. Then you have this really steep climb to that peak of inflated expectations. Along this route is when the rest of us start to hear about this. And usually things like the media and companies and you know, personalities out there start to hype up this technology and talk about all the different ways that we might be able to use this tech and it'll transform our lives and it will, you know, make business processes a billion times more efficient and cheaper and all this kind of stuff, right? Like that's where all that conversation starts to happen. And there's a lot of blue sky thinking going on during this stage. But at some point, we start to realize that our perception of the technology and what it can actually achieve are out of alignment. Right, that we have put way too much hype on this underlying technology. And then we plunge into what is called the trough of disillusionment. Now, at that stage, some of us might even just dismiss that technology outright, say, oh man, it's worthless. It can't do anything. And this is the exact same technology that we were super hyped about earlier. But again, our perception and the actual technology itself and its abilities are out of alignment. Now, our perception is below what the technology can actually do. We're undervaluing it. So following the trough of disillusionment is the slope of enlightenment. That's where we start to figure out how the tech can actually be put to good use without overinflating its importance. It might be a much more modest approach than what we were originally thinking when it was going through that peak of inflated expectations. And then that finally leads to the plateau of productivity. That's kind of where the tech sits comfortably, and its capabilities and our perceptions of the technology are more or less in alignment. They're more or less, parallel. So if Gartner is on the money here, that means we should be in store for a pretty dramatic reversal on how companies and others are looking at generative AI. There is no shortage of pieces about the technology's current limitations and drawbacks, so I don't necessarily disagree. In fact, I'm actually a little surprised that Gartner didn't position generative AI as if it were just past the peak and already on its way down. Other technologies that were included on this projection are things like federated machine learning, cloud sustainability, and post-quantum cryptography. All of those are still on the climbing toward the peak of inflated expectations part of the hype cycle, according to Gartner. And again, this is just kind of a way of us kind of taking a step back and looking at how we react to these technologies. It's so interesting to me because, again, it doesn't have anything to do with what the technology actually can do. It's all in our perception and belief of what that technology can do. Really fascinating, sort of a meta approach. The Associated Press, or AP, has updated its policies about journalism and artificial intelligence in general, but also generative AI and specifically ChatGPT in particular. So, for example, the AP states that, quote, any output from a generative AI tool should be treated as unvetted source material. AP staff must apply their editorial judgment and AP's sourcing standards when considering any information for publication, end quote. This also doesn't just include text. AP has also talked about images. The AP says that journalists should never include AI-generated or AI-altered images unless the story itself is about AI creating or changing images, in which case you can include examples, but you do need to clearly label them in captions so that the reader of the piece is aware of what that is. The AP also urged journalists to be extra cautious when researching material to make reasonable efforts to ensure that the sources they're referencing are reliable, because if those sources were generated by AI, they may not be. The AP urges journalists to check multiple sources, which is always a good thing, and to use strategies like reverse image searches to validate information before including it in their own pieces, which again makes sense. Also, if journalists have any doubts about the validity of the material, they should probably just not use it at all. And that seems like a reasonable benchmark to me. The AP is publishing new updates to the AP Stylebook today, as this episode goes out, and they will include other guidelines about AI. A big one is not about journalists making use of AI, but how they cover it. And part of that is not buying into the hype, or at least not to take claims at face value, specifically from AI developers. And also that journalists should avoid using language that, quote, attributes human characteristics to these systems, end quote. And that makes sense. It's also good to call attention to it because we humans are often guilty at projecting human characteristics on non-human stuff like animals or even inanimate objects. I mean, how many of y'all have named your cars, for example? I'm sure not all of you have, but I bet some of you have. Anyway, here's hoping that these guidelines can help journalists frame AI stories in a way that leads to more accurate reporting. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will continue this episode. Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
They'll explore and listen to the sounds of amazing places like farms, racetracks, the moon, and even
construction sites.
That's right, Blippi.
Follow your ears. What do you hear?
And they'll meet new friends along the way. Alongside Blippi and Mika, your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
We're back. So city employees in New York City are now barred from installing and using TikTok on any city-owned devices. So this is a very similar story that we've seen play out in lots of other places. Several states here in the U.S., several federal agencies here in the U.S. have similar bans. And the concern is that TikTok could potentially pose as a security vulnerability, one that could give unauthorized persons access to, in this case, New York City's networks. The ban is effective immediately. And as I have said in previous episodes, I think this is perfectly reasonable for like a city-owned system or a government-owned system. If you are a city worker and the city has assigned to you a smartphone, that phone isn't really yours. It's for you to use with respect to your job working for the city. City workers are still allowed to use TikTok on their personal devices. It's not like they're forbidden from using TikTok at all. And I've also said this before too, but I agree that banning TikTok from government-owned devices makes sense. I don't have any issue with that. I think unless your job for the government requires you to have TikTok, like maybe you're a PR person or something, it doesn't make sense to have TikTok on a government-owned device. I also think that singling out TikTok exclusively when we're talking about concerns around data security and data privacy is absurd. So in other words, yes, I think it makes sense to ban it from government-owned devices, but I also think it's ridiculous to single out TikTok as the one evil boogeyman in the data security space, because while TikTok can be a threat to security and privacy, that's true for tons of apps, right? Like X/Twitter has those issues. Facebook, Instagram, Amazon, pretty much any app that's collecting information about us, and especially apps that have that information later make their way to data brokerage markets, all of those pose as security and privacy threats to us. But that's a soapbox I've been on so many times, I'll just move on. The cryptocurrency exchange platform Coinbase has secured regulatory approval to allow US-based customers to deal in crypto derivatives. So globally, crypto derivatives make up the majority of crypto trades, but here in the US, they weren't allowed. If you wanted to deal with crypto here in the US, you had to actually buy or sell actual cryptocurrencies, not derivatives. So derivatives are stuff like futures and options. And I'm going to be honest, y'all, this is outside my wheelhouse. And the more I read about stuff like stocks and futures and options, the more I'm left with the sinking feeling that nothing is real, and the only reason the financial world keeps moving at all is that enough folks have agreed it's too important to let it fall to pieces. So we just have to shut our eyes and believe in fairies, and the whole thing will just keep on going. But that's not very helpful for this particular news item, right? So a future, in case like me, you really had heard the term, but you were like, I don't even know what that really means. A future is a contractual agreement to buy or to sell a certain asset at a certain price at a certain time. So it's where a buyer and a seller agree upon what is going to be bought slash sold, when that's going to happen, and at what price. It's a lot like making a bet on what you think the future value of an asset might be. So let's use an example to help clear things up. So right now, as I record this, the price of a single Bitcoin is around $28,300. But let's say that you think that in 3 months, Bitcoin is going to surge in value. So you want to secure a futures contract. You want to purchase one Bitcoin, but you want to purchase it in 3 months at the price of, let's say you've agreed, you've negotiated it to $29,000. So it's more than what it's valued at now. But you think that in 3 months, it's going to be worth way more than that. Now, let's say that someone else who owns Bitcoin thinks that the price of Bitcoin is actually going to dip in 3 months. So they have an incentive to make a deal, especially to sell one Bitcoin at $29,000, which is, you know, again, higher than what the current market value is. So the two of you enter into an agreement. You create a contract. You sign on the dotted line. 3 months go by. And now it's actually time for you to pay for that Bitcoin and take possession of it. So the agreed upon price was $29,000. And it turns out you were right. Let's say that the market did surge, and now the market price for Bitcoin is close to $40,000. That means you're able to buy a $40,000 Bitcoin at $29,000. So you've already made a profit as soon as you make the purchase. Or let's say the seller was right, and now the current price of Bitcoin is down to $20,000, but you've already agreed to pay for it at $29,000. Now you might say, Jonathan, why would you trade in futures when you could just buy or sell the actual cryptocurrency in real time? If you think the price is going to go up, why not just buy it now? And to that I say, beats me. Maybe it's that you don't have the money right now, so that 3 months would give you enough time to gather the money you would need to buy the asset. That's one way of doing it, although that is putting yourself on a deadline that is scary, my friend. You get close to that 3 months and you're like, oh man, I need to scrounge up that 29K. But I am not at all an expert in financial matters, which is more than evident, right? And I am sure there are lots of really legitimate, smart financial reasons to trade in futures. I mean, I get it for like physical stuff like agriculture. I totally understand it in that context. But in things like stocks and cryptocurrencies, that blows my mind. So it's outside my wheelhouse. And you might as well just tell me it's magic and I'll believe you, because it totally escapes me. Anyway, the fact that regulators have now approved derivatives for Coinbase is a huge deal, both for US investors and for the crypto exchange itself. Meanwhile, In the UK, PayPal will pump the brakes on customer crypto sales starting in October. That's because UK regulators are implementing new rules and restrictions regarding crypto trading in the UK starting October 8th. And PayPal execs say they need to pause crypto features to make certain that the company's operations satisfy these new rules. Customers will still be able to sell their crypto through PayPal, but they won't be able to buy. And that's because these new rules are going to include giving clear and understandable warnings about the risks that are surrounding the investment into cryptocurrencies. So regulators have been really concerned that customers in the UK don't fully understand those risks. And so these rules are more about raising awareness about possible consequences if you were to pour your money into the cryptocurrency world. And because they say that a lot of people just view it as this is a guaranteed way to get rich, and they don't take into consideration the very real possibility that your investment could just disappear, that you could invest all that money and then the asset could fall through and then you've lost all that money. So it's not an outright ban on the buying and selling of crypto, but more about making sure that any company that facilitates the buying and selling of crypto has to be able to express these risks to customers. So that's why PayPal is going to put a pause on things while they make sure that they comply with those rules. Okay, I've got three more stories to go, but we're going to take another quick break to thank our sponsors. Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's CONCUR.com.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride, we're gonna have some fun.
They'll explore and listen to the sounds of amazing places, like farms, racetracks, the moon, and even
construction sites.
That's right, Blippi.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And they'll meet new friends along the way. Alongside Blippi and Mika, your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Okay, so this is an important one. If you happen to drive a Ford vehicle that was made between like 2015 and 2021 in particular. So Texas Instruments recently discovered a vulnerability in a Wi-Fi driver that the company supplies to the automaker Ford. And this is for the use in the Sync 3 infotainment system. And this is a bad one because this flaw makes it possible for a hacker to tap in through a vehicle's Wi-Fi and to execute remote code on that infotainment system. So essentially a hacker can take over that infotainment system. Ford at least has reassured the public that the infotainment system is firewalled off from critical driving systems like braking and steering and that kind of thing. So the good news is that while this is a critical security vulnerability, there's not really any risk of hackers getting the ability to force Ford vehicles off the road by, you know, exploiting this vulnerability in the Sync 3 infotainment system. Nothing like that should be possible. Still, the recommendation is for people who own a Ford that was made after 2015 that has this Sync 3 infotainment system in it, they should go into their Wi-Fi settings and turn off Wi-Fi while they wait for Ford to issue a security patch, which they would then have to install via USB or bring it into a Ford dealership to have it installed there. The current version of the infotainment software on Ford vehicles made since 2021 is Sync 4. So if you have a Sync 4 infotainment system, this shouldn't apply to you. At least Ford has not revealed any vulnerabilities in that generation of the infotainment system. So again, if you own a Ford, it was made between 2015 and 2021, and it's got Sync 3 infotainment system, go into those settings and turn off Wi-Fi until Ford has a security patch. And, you know, just keep an eye on Ford's own website about this issue. And that way you can avoid having your car get hacked into by hackers. What a world, right? Earlier this week, I talked about how San Francisco recently authorized robo-taxi companies Waymo and Cruise, which is owned by General Motors. Waymo is owned by Alphabet, you know, Google's parent company. But anyway, they have authorized these companies to operate within the city of San Francisco. They've got certain things that they have to follow in order to be able to charge for rides. But anyway, I also talked about how several vehicles owned by Cruise, maybe as many as a dozen, created a bit of a traffic jam in San Francisco when they stopped on a street in the San Francisco neighborhood due to cell service interruptions and interference. There was this big music festival that was hogging all the data, and the cars were unable to navigate properly, so they just kind of parked it on the street and caused a bit of a traffic jam. Now there's another report out of San Francisco that says a Cruise vehicle made a boo-boo when it drove over a construction site and then into wet concrete. Apparently, the car registered the wet concrete as being just fine to drive on, and so it drove in and got stuck. Cruise employees had to come to its rescue a little bit later on. The Cruise vehicle was not carrying passengers at the time, at least, but does illustrate that these vehicles have limitations and were likely to see similar issues while engineers worked to make the vehicles better. It might lead some people to ask if perhaps these cars are in operation a bit prematurely. And I think that's a fair question to ask. Others would say that, well, the whole purpose of operation at this stage is to find out where these problems are so that we can fix them and make them better. But when you're talking about a device that is that big, can move that fast, and can potentially kill somebody, I think you got to hold it to a very, very, very high standard. Finally, our last story is a bunch of folks who own 3D printers made by the company Bambu, B-A-M-B-U, found that their devices spontaneously began to print in the middle of the night recently. So it is the machine uprising, only it's just the 3D printers, and they can't do very much else other than, you know, print stuff. But they were trying to print previous print jobs, sometimes printing over an earlier print job or a print job that had been going and then just stopped, and now it had been restarted, so printing on top of it and just ruining the whole thing. It also meant that the machines were sometimes, because they were trying to print on top of existing print jobs, causing issues like banging into stuff and potentially damaging the machine itself. So what made the machines do this? Well, apparently Bambu's cloud services had an interruption, and this is what prompted the printers to go into print mode on their own once the interruption was corrected. This actually reminds me of how once upon a time, there was an issue with some podcast servers that went offline, and when they came back on, they pushed out all the episodes on the server as if they were brand new episodes. So if you were subscribed to one of these podcasts, you would get all existing episodes sent to you as if they were brand new. And for some shows, which have, say, I don't know, 2,000 episodes, that's a lot. It hogs up a lot of space. And it makes it very frustrating to use the podcatching app. So that's a very similar situation. In this case, the servers went offline when they reconnected. Because the cloud service was unable to verify that the last print job actually went through, it just initiated it again. But this actually comes with some pretty big risks, right? Like, one thing is, as I said, it's possible for the printers to end up damaging themselves because they're printing on top of an existing print job in some cases. But also, 3D printers can run very hot. So if there were some issues, there's also the danger of it overheating and potentially becoming a fire hazard. You know, there's supposed to be protections in place to prevent that from happening, but it's hard to, you know, verify that, in fact, those protections are sufficient until disaster strikes, right? There's also the concern that if it's something that can be remotely initiated like that, it could be a security vulnerability. So yeah, not the best little thing to happen. Although I will say that according to everything I've read, Bambu has been very forthcoming about the issue and has accepted responsibility for the problems here. Although it remains to be seen what the company will do for people who have a 3D printer that was perhaps damaged as a result of this unforeseen issue. Now, before I go, I do have a recommendation for an article for y'all. The article is titled, "It's Time to Rethink Our Relationships with Streaming Services." It was written by Charles Pulliam Moore, and it's on The Verge. So if you just go to The Verge and look for "It's Time to Rethink Our Relationships with Streaming Services," you can read up on it. It's obviously a piece that's talking about what has been going on with streaming services over the past couple of years, the issues that we're seeing, the price hikes that have been going on, and maybe that it requires some reflection and decisions about, are you really getting the value out of these services that you deserve based upon how much you're paying for them? I know if I were being honest about that for myself, I would have to come to the conclusion that I need to cancel several subscriptions, because I know I've got like subscriptions to about half a dozen streaming services, and I use maybe two of them frequently. So really, I should follow this advice and really reevaluate the relationship I have with these streaming services and whether or not it is a healthy one because I would suggest that perhaps it's not, and I need to pay attention to the same recommendations I give everybody else. And that's it for today's episode. I hope you are all well. Thank you for those of you who sent nice messages, making sure that I was okay. I am okay, or at least I'm definitely better than I was yesterday. I'm not at 100%, but I'm way better than the last 2 days. So that's good. And I will talk to you again really soon.
Tech Stuff is an iHeartRadio production. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but, like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.